This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Welcome back to the program, Ravya Muth and Kelly McDonald. We are the hosts of Kelly and Company. Remember to check us out using TuneIn Radio, OOTunes, the Radio Player Canada app. Awesome ways in which you can find us out there and at your, if you're running around, kind of at your leisure, take a listen to the show. Remember, we have the live show at 2 p.m. Eastern, first repeat at 5 midnight and 5 a.m. in the morning Eastern time right here on AMI Audio. Well, Rum, it's time for us to welcome in a monthly segment that, I remember when Devin first brought it to us. It's just such a great idea to keep people up on what's going on in the service animal and guide dog world. So let's welcome her in to get some latest updates.
I'm Devin Wilkins from Peterborough, Ontario, your self-appointed messenger from the world of guide, hearing, and service dogs. Join me at this time each month as we discuss topics of particular interest to you and your precious pup.
Devin, you put so much into these segments, scouring around, looking for things to utilize to make sure that we're kept up to date. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. It's been difficult at times, especially during COVID, to find stuff, but it's gradually getting better.
Yeah, we've been saying that with the community reporters, and the yeoman work that everybody's been just plugging away at has been tremendous. Want to talk about International Guide Dog Day first and some special recognition that's happening.
Yeah, we're a few weeks early. International Guide Dog Day isn't until the fourth Wednesday in April, so that'll be April 28th. But we're starting to gear up the recognition of what our dogs do for us. Guide Dog Users of Canada, for example, on their Facebook page, we're going to be featuring stories, special stories that have unfolded between handlers and their dogs. And we're also going to be talking about the kind of things that can distract guide dogs from what they're going to be doing. For example, we might have a short little almost public service announcements saying something like, if you wouldn't distract a dentist from doing a filling, or a construction worker handling dangerous machinery, or any number of things, then don't distract a guide dog who is guiding a blind person because he or she is working too. Because I think we really need to get members of the general public thinking about what a dog does is not being cute, which they are, and they know it, but that's not their main purpose in life. It's guiding someone who is blind. And, we want the dog to walk straight across the street, not in a diagonal direction, to be patted by somebody who is wiggling their fingers at the dog or, otherwise trying to take their attention, because that could be pretty dangerous.
Seriously, Devin, so, on a regular basis, and I don't have a service animal, I have a pet dog, and even then, when I'm trying to maneuver with using my white cane and Glizzy's on the leash next to me, and people on the streets can be so distracting and kind of whistling at him or calling him, and I'm just like, wow, imagine if this was a working animal, how
I know
it directly affects people's travels and people's safety and construction zones and all these other things. Like, it's really, it doesn't get old, this message of please stop distracting service animals.
Yeah. because it directly affects the safety and the life of both the dog and the person. And so if people see things like that on Facebook, you could help a whole lot by passing them along to your friends and family and acquaintances and that sort of thing.
Absolutely, Devin. Okay, well, that's amazing. Definitely a day to be recognized, and the messaging out there is super important, too. You want to talk about another controversial thing. The Standards for Guide and Service Dogs threatens to rear its ugly head again. What's going on?
Yes, well, about 3 years ago, there was a group of people who thought that standards should be made more stringent and rigid for service animals. Now, I can understand why they wouldn't want snakes to be on planes and that sort of thing. And I can understand why dogs that haven't gone through a public access test of some kind need maybe some kind of standards to follow. But there are two organizations that have been in existence for years that have governed the quality of training schools. And those are the International Guide Dog Federation and Assistance Dogs International. And, you know, every, I don't know, 5-10 years, these schools are re-accredited. They have to reapply for their accreditation. So it's not like things are getting lax. And they say, the association say, okay, here you go. Here's your accreditation. You can do whatever you want. It's like the organizations are saying, here's your accreditation for the next 5 years, but we'll be checking up on you to make sure that you do adhere to the standards that we set for you. So they don't need to be schools like the CNI and Guide Dogs for the Blind and any of the schools here in Canada. They don't need to be reaccredited by anybody else. And why should someone who has already graduated from one of these schools go home only to then receive a call from someone saying, I'm coming from whatever standard organization to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing? They've already been tested. Now, if this group wants to go ahead and say to people who have their dogs privately trained or do the training themselves, okay, now, when you've got your dog trained as well as you think you can do it, then you have to go through a public access test. I for one, can certainly understand that. And the public access test should be similar to the standards that the International Guide Dog Federation and Assistance Dogs International have already set. I can certainly understand that. I tried to engage the leader of that particular group, Joanne Moss, in a debate for a spotlight on assistance dogs. Not with me, but with somebody else. And she said, I'm not debating anything with anybody. And I said, okay, well, how about just a gently done, friendly type interview with me? And she said, no. So as far as I'm concerned, we can now only sit back and see what happens. But if we have to fight this one again, I guess that's what we'll have to do. There are two links that I've provided you with, folks, that will give you a lot of the history.
Okay.
If people want to read the articles.
We'll make sure they're on the blog, ami.ca/KellyCo. Devin, does it feel like as much as people bonded together before to work together, which is something we felt really, really pleased about, because in our community of the low vision blind community, it's a bit rough to get people doing that sometimes,
yes,
to work together. Do you feel that now that it's happened once, easily to pull people together again? And let's hope so, but you don't want to be fighting these kinds of battles every year. And I know we have to.
Yeah, that's right. I think we'll all pull together. There was already a round of advocacy,
nice,
letters that was sent to a lawyer involved with this organization that's trying to form to adjust the standards. And she got such a response that she said, cut it out or I'll charge you with harassment. So, I mean,
great.
She must have gotten hundreds of letters.
Nice. Well, that's what you need. That's what you need. Okay. Well, again, we'll put them, ami.ca/KellyCo, folks, for the links. Uber ordered to pay $1.1 million for refusing rides to a San Francisco woman and her guide dog, Bernie. What's the story here?
Yeah. Apparently, she was refused 14 times. And what the Uber drivers would do is take her part of the way to where she wanted to go and let her out, tell her to get out. She was there and just leave her stranded. And there were other times that they harangued her all the way to where she needed to go because she had to bring the guide dog with her. And she was late on several occasions to her work because Uber wasn't cooperating. And she was eventually fired from her job.
Yep. So it cost her money. It's dangerous. And you know what? A court has to make an example, because you put a person in danger saying, yeah, you're here. You don't want to take the person. Tell them, I'm not taking you, and face the consequences from your work. Obviously, Uber is not getting through to these drivers, or the drivers are lying and saying, oh, yeah, no problem. I'll take a guide dog or whatever the problem is. Enough talk. Start hurting the pocketbook.
I know it's been going on for years, and the courts have to bring the hammer down.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say these people aren't idiots, but obviously they are.
Yeah.
Wow.
Their idiot tendencies come through their camouflage of cleverness.
Devin, really quickly, we do have some time for this. Introductions of new guide dog teams seem to be picking up. Can you tell us what you've noticed?
In the past couple of weeks, people like our own Becky Zare have been writing in to say that they've just graduated with their new dogs, and I can think of at least two others. So stuff is happening, people. I know it can be pretty discouraging, especially when new lockdowns are being held over our heads for later today or whatever, but things have been happening and they will continue to happen as time and circumstance permit. So I just thought we might want to end on that piece of good news.
Very, very nice piece of good news. Thank you very much, Devin, and always, of course, wonderful having you on the program with such great stuff to talk about. Again, ami.ca/KellyCo. We'll talk to you next month.
Okay. Have a good one, folks.
Devin joins us once a month here on the program. Always wonderful to hear from her as we have our guide dog and service animal report. She is here always on the first Wednesday of the month. Coming up in just a moment, Mary Mammoliti of Kitchen Confession dishes out different kitchen secrets to make you rethink how you cook. We'll talk to her in a moment. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.